Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from BBS Radio 1, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. And remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guests today are Laura and Nikki London of the band London Rain. London Rain formed in the summer of 2013 following a tour of the UK by the Laura G. and Nikki London Band. Since then, the prolific songwriting duo, along with their producer and song co-writer, Luis Maldonado, who is also lead guitarist for Train, released their critically acclaimed debut, Big Beat Alt-Rock album entitled American Stranger in 2015. American Stranger received multiple music magazines' top 10 best of list for 2015. Now London Rain is preparing for their release of the second album, Confessions, in December 2016. The first single and music video from the new album, Red Wagon Can't Return to Yesterday, debuts on Saturday, September 17th. This is the first of 10 songs London Rain created for their sophomoric album. My review of Red Wagon Can't Return to Yesterday by London Rain reads as follows. It is by far the best song and music video to date by one of the finest bands to arrive on the rock music scene since the 90s. Nikki and Laura London are a seductive, badass duo liberating rock to its glory days. Laura's proficient songwriting and masterful electric licks are driven by Nikki's amazing vocals and intensity. The girls acquired a similar musical brilliance and tenacity as legends Heart, Joan Jett, The Bangles, The Go-Go's, and Letters to Cleo. And if Red Wagon Can't Return to Yesterday is an indication of even better things to come, then their new album to be released at the end of this year, entitled Confessions, should be epic. The song and video are up for Grammy considerations and Best Video and Best New Single. They've got my vote. I truly love this band. Nikki and Laura are the core members of London Rain, along with producer and co-writer Luis Maldonado. Nikki and Laura perform both as an acoustic duo, Laura and Nikki London of London Rain, and as London Rain with her full band comprised of Nikki on lead vocals and guitar, Laura on guitar and keyboards, Matt Lucich on drums, and Matt Dennis on bass. When not on tour with Train, Luis Maldonado will sometimes join London Rain on stage. Several legendary rock artists who have joined them on stage include Dale Vazio of Missing Persons, Terry Nunn of Berlin, and Prescott Niles of The Knack. London Rain is open for Belinda Carlisle of The Go-Go's, Salt and Pepper, and performs regularly on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. Reverb Nation lists the band's sound like Paramore, Evanescence, Fleetwood Mac, No Doubt, and the Cranberries, labeled as original big beat alternative rock band. It is my great pleasure to welcome Laura and Nikki London of London Rain to the Ray Shasho Show. Welcome.
Ray, hello. Thank you for all that. That was wonderful. God, thank you so much for that.
It's so good to hear from you again. It's been a while.
Sure has.
How are things in L.A.?
Well, it's been going pretty good. We've had a really hot summer and a lot of fires here, so it's been interesting to say the least. But we've just been plugging away, working on some new songs, doing a lot of writing. We're actually working on some Christmas material as well. It's been a pretty busy summer. It's been great.
Yeah, we broadcast actually from Paradise, California. It's located in the Sierra Nevada foothills.
I've been there several times. It's beautiful.
Oh, have you? Good. So you know where it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, to the Chico Festival up there, the Fun Festival, I think it was the Pioneer Festival going on. Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that we broadcast from California, but I get to stay here in beautiful Tampa Bay.
I got a chance to go up there with and meet with the Beach Boys up there when they played up at Chico State. It was really a fun meeting with all of them. It's really impressive to watch them and get to meet with them.
Oh, cool. That's pretty neat. The big news, of course, is the release of the new single and video, Red Wagon, Can't Return to Yesterday. I guess September 17th, and of course the new album entitled Confessions will be at the end of the year. Was there a master plan for releasing the album in December? Because I think it was it scheduled a little earlier than that originally?
Yes, it was scheduled to come out earlier, but due to I picked up an illness and then recovered, and then Nikki got sick, and then Louise went on a massive tour with Train. They also did that Led Zeppelin album, which they did a fantastic job, and they went on all the TV shows for that. So it put us back about 3 months, and so they pushed back the release. So we decided we'll go ahead and release singles from the album ahead of the album, and then release the album December or early January, release date for the entire album.
Talk about making the video. I saw bits and pieces of, I guess, making the video. I don't know if it was on Facebook or whatever. It looked like a lot of fun and pretty technical, actually. I was looking at the camera they were using and everything. How long did it take to make the video?
The video took about 4 months. We were lucky to get a magnificent director in Jonathan Lawrence. We used the Blackmagic 4.6K Ursa, which is a really beautiful camera, but 15 stops. It was a lot of the work in editing on that, and we were lucky to have some wonderful children to work with us. And of course, Nikki grabbed the spotlight and everything. She's just amazing on camera, so that made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, you guys were awesome. You really were. I love
Thank
the
you.
Video. I really, really love the video. Talk about the album now. I guess, you know, it seems like you always have lots of songs ready. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't already have songs already for the next album. So
actually, we do. This coming album, the last album, everything we try to do is we feel like something a little bit more lyrically, something more of a throwback to a period when lyrics were a bit more important than they seem to be today.
Right.
And nothing against the lyricists of today, but a lot of lyrics today are written mostly about being in love or being hurt by love or relationships. Most of our songs have to do with societal issues, political issues, or could be about love or introspective feelings. First album, American Stranger, was more about how oneself deals with issues within society, feeling isolated in their own world by whether it's by race, by sexual orientation, or anything else. In this new album, it's going to be more personalization about things that happened when we were growing up, how it molded us today, how it affected us. The Confessions is exactly what the title's about. Most of the song's going to be about personal experiences from the past and how they relate to us today. For example, Red Wagon, the single you just heard, is about my experience when I was 3 or 4, receiving a red wagon at a young age and at a birthday or something I always wanted. And it disappeared the next day, and I was told later in life that it was either stolen or given away or my parents returned it. I don't know what happened. But right after that, immediately my parents divorced, and then everything sort of went downhill from that moment. So it was kind of a monumental moment in my life because so many things went the wrong way after that moment. And I went to like 12 schools in 12 years after that. So the song is about that. And that's why the title is Can't Return to Yesterday, taking a line from Alice in Wonderland on that. And that's what the theme of the song is about. So and we wanted to put Red Wagon is about. It's about the old little red wagon.
Lori, you're very deep. I'm glad you are, because like you said, there's so many lyrics today that really don't mean anything. They just either rhyme with each other. you know. And the thing I hate the most about any song is the repetitiveness. You get one, you know, you get a line of lyrics, and they repeat them like 10 times in a row. And it's not only today. I've heard classic rock bands do that on mainstream radio. And that just drives me crazy, you know.
Yeah, it does. And it's one of the hardest. It's a real catch-22 when you're writing, because you want when you have a lot to sing and you want to write a lot, but you have to be balanced that with what people will listen to. And we have found that when we wrote songs with a lot of lyrics, like the song American Stranger, which is the namesake song for our last album, had a lot of lyrics. And we felt it was one of our strongest songs on the last album. But it was harder for people to understand that song compared to our song Love and Freefall, which had more repetitive lyrics.
Right.
So you always face the challenge of what's the point of getting repeating a chorus or repeating a lyric versus adding new ones. You have to walk a fine line all the time, because as time goes on, it appears that people like less lyrics than more. So we want to get as much lyric and information and story into the song as we can, but not at also the sake of losing an audience too. So we have to walk that balance. There's always a compromise.
Right, and I could add to that as well.
Sure.
I think that as songwriters, we like to play with words, and we like to come up with interesting new ways to say things. And although we may be very good at that, we kind of seem to be kind of really honed in on that kind of thing, where the majority of people really don't dig that deep into. You know, it's, you know, you're listening to music on your iPod, or
right.
You know, and to even get people, so many people don't even, especially like teenagers, don't even listen to an entire song. You know, they listen the first 30 seconds, they skip. Oh, you know, they get bored so quickly. So I think that it's an important, like Laura was saying, to find that balance in lyrical, in your lyrical style, that you say what you want to say and be meaningful without being too complicated at the same time.
Okay, you still got to maintain some kind of, you know, rhythm or beat, you know, that goes along with the lyrics, I guess.
Right.
That they can understand.
You don't want to write lyrics that only you can understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it that way. I like those intense moments that I have to think about a song. You know, I love that. You know, and
sure.
I think a lot of the aficionados from back then, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, loved it too. But it's a different world nowadays, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think we have the attention span that we did, you know, back in the day, you know, where you could sit and, you know, analyze and
right.
take apart Bob Dylan and what it exactly was
exactly.
saying. I don't think people take the time to do that kind of thing anymore. At least not as much as we'd like to think so.
I'm still trying to interpret Bob Dylan.
Now you recorded the American Stranger at Abbey Road Studios, right? You did some of that at Abbey Road?
A little bit.
Parts of it, Abbey Road, mostly at Capitol Records in Hollywood.
Capitol Records.
Stagg Street, yes, Studios A and B, and then also Stagg Street in North Hollywood, where Alanis Morissette and a lot of people record also there. A little less known, but nice, wonderful studio. And this new album, we're going to do a lot more at Stagg Street, because we just have a lot of freedom there at that studio.
It's worth mentioning
that the people there are... they make you feel very much at ease. It's kind of almost like a home setting. So it's very relaxed, very laid back, where you can really open up your mind and not be intimidated by, you know, oh my God, Katy Perry just walked by. Did she hear us? You know,
right.
You know, something like that. You know, it's real laid back. It's, you know, it's kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a, anyway, it's a quiet setting. It's a quiet setting. Yeah.
I think we were intimidated, Abbey Road.
That was pretty.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, we actually got to go in studio too, the Beatles studio. That was really nice.
Oh my God!
Capitol worked that out for us.
How cool was that?
Yeah, that was. We didn't think we were going to get it. They said no, looks like you won't be in that studio. And then the last studio four said. You'll be in studio too, and I'm saying, I thought we couldn't get that studio. I said, oh no, you're in it. So that was wonderful to record there. It was like great.
They still have.
That was,
go ahead.
That was pretty amazing that we got that gig. But I think I won up Laura the next day when we actually recorded at the studio. I think I was maybe more intimidated about what I was about to do after the session than actually doing the session, because that when we were finished, I dropped to one knee and asked Laura to marry me in Abbey Road Studios, which is actually 3 years ago Tuesday. So we
happy anniversary. I saw that on Facebook. Happy anniversary.
She said well, yes.
Yes, I figured that, because since you both have the same names now. That's awesome. Did you guys officially tie the knot?
Not yet.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
That's what I keep asking.
Money.
I was waiting for that the first time I talked to you.
I keep trying to get her to just run out to Vegas with me, but that hasn't happened.
Yeah, why not? At little Elvis Chapel, you know, one of those things.
There you go.
Yeah.
Will you come?
Yeah, definitely. I don't need an excuse to come to Vegas. Of course not. That'd be awesome. I'd definitely be there.
I do want to say that one of the things, though, about regarding all the songs from the last and what we're working on now, and we can't wait to play the new songs as soon as we can, because most of them are done, is that the help from Louis Small Donato in terms of a co-writer and producer for us is just tremendous. He's just one of the best guitarists in the world, a world-class guitarist, and plays for everyone now, the guitarist for Train and everything else. He's just amazing. And to have him on every one of our songs, producing every one of these songs. And the other night we went to a lyric session. We had turned in all our lyrics for all the songs, and he's sitting there just going, okay, now that one word you have there, that really doesn't play with the song, and what does it really mean? How does that interpret with what you're trying to say?
Right.
And we're just looking at each other going, okay, here we go again. And that's what he does so wonderful. You know, he really keeps us focused he's just, you couldn't ask for anybody better to help you in it. And I think that helps London Rain be a notch above what it is, because of the fact that Will Wilkins is such a great pro and in both the production, in the arrangement, and in the co-writing.
It's funny, I was going to ask that question. One of the questions I was going to say is I think the band was very fortunate to have Luis be your producer.
No question.
And what were the little things that add to the band's success from Luis? And you just told me that, which is, you know, is he pretty strict in the studio, or is it?
I see. How many times, we can probably count more times we haven't cried than we have cried.
Right.
Oh, excuse me, reverse that part. yeah, he's pretty tough.
Luis's brother is also, he's a bass player, right? Is that his brother?
His brother Hector is the bassist for Train.
And
his brother and his wife is Anna Lanchantin, who's the cellist, been with everything from Smashing Pumpkins to Queens of the Stone Age, and her sister is Paz, who's the bassist for the Pixies and everybody else.
Well, for our listening audience,
she was perfect circle.
Luis Maldonado has worked with UFO, Glenn Hughes, John Waite, just to name a few. He's also a platinum-selling producer and music co-writer. And the brothers, they're awesome.
Yeah,
I guess they're a family of musicians, pretty much.
Yeah, I think both Luis and Anna, I think both of their families are a long line of musicians that are just sickingly talented.
Yeah.
And Hector played bass. We were really fortunate to have Hector play bass on a few of the songs on our first album. So that was really, really incredible to have him. Watch them both in the studio together and watch them make faces at each other through the window was really funny.
What's Luis's background? Where's he from? His family?
They're from L.A. They grew up in L.A. He's of Mexican-American descent, and
okay.
I'm of Mexican-American descent.
Yeah.
And Nikki's of Iowan descent.
And I'm Cuban. I'm half Cuban, you know.
Hello to all my friends back in Iowa.
what part of Iowa were you from, Nikki? What's the city you're from?
Well, I grew up in a very, very small town called Franklin, Iowa. Right now, currently, I believe, has about 138
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I saw that.
but then in Fort Madison, which is the next bigger town where I went to school, I lived there until I was about 18, 19, and then I moved to Iowa City where I resided pretty much for the majority of the time until I moved to L.A.
So you came from a real tiny town.
Very tiny. I think the city block that we're sitting on right now is probably about the size of my town.
I looked it up. It says the population of Franklin was 143 at 2010 census.
Yep. We're at 138 right now, I think.
And you ended up in L.A. That's amazing.
Yeah, you know.
And you found Laura.
I did. I think she found me, really. And I'm darn grateful for that. I'm not sure. I may have ran away with my tail between my legs had she had not found me. You know, L.A. is a huge town, and I come from a very small place. And, you know, it's easy to get swallowed whole in a place like this. And I'm just fortunate that I found somebody that was, you know, could kind of keep the feet underneath my ground, keep the ground underneath my feet, I guess. through, you know, still adjusting to be in L.A. and you know, making friends and meeting people, which as outgoing as I may seem, I'm actually kind of can be kind of shy and introverted at the same time. So, you know, I get into a situation where I'm uncomfortable and I get afraid to talk to people. So Laura came up to me the one night, and I guess I wasn't quite so shy that night myself, but we ended up, doing the darn thing, I guess.
You can tell how shy she is by how much.
Yeah, I know, really. Hey, I saw you on the video on your website with what was the name of the song you guys did together with the singer from Berlin?
Oh,
Metro.
The Metro, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't look shy at all during doing that.
Well, you know, it's kind of a thing. As soon as you step on stage, that's a whole another thing, you know. That's my comfort zone.
That's a great video. I love that video.
Thank you. That was actually a just kind of a last-minute thing. We had heard we're good friends with Terry, and she said she was coming to our show, and we had added, we like to throw in some covers when we do shows because not everybody is obviously going to know our music. So we'll throw in some covers down then, and she said she's coming, and we said, hey, you know, we'll play the Metro. Maybe you can go up and join us. And she said, yeah, maybe I will. And she just came up and joined us, and that was it. I mean, literally, we didn't rehearse it with her. Her and Nikki just went over a couple of the lyrics on the phone, and that was it. And we just performed it. We did the similar thing with Del Bozzio with Missy Christensen on several shows.
Yep.
Yeah, I was really lucky. And we just got a call from her. Mm-hmm. We were talking about recording our first cover song and maybe doing an older Missy Christensen song, which we really love. We were thinking of seeing if she would join us. And we asked her, if we do one of your songs, would you come join us in the studio? And she said, I am there. She's going to come join us and sing with us on one of her songs. It would be great.
That would be cool. You guys like that 80s period, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really great stuff that came out of the 80s that I think it's kind of overlooked. We kind of go from the 70s to, you know, the 90s grunge to the pop stuff and some of that 80s stuff.
I agree.
Well, the thing I think we try to do is first when we were starting out London Rain, we were trying to think of who would create a more modern sound of that kind of period, much like when people go back and digitally re-record their songs or whatever to kind of freshen them up. We thought, could you go back and create a fantastic sound, much like somebody would go back and recreate a Frank Sinatra song, but in a modern way, or a 60s King song or something like that, and bring it up to date and bring it modern. And we felt like, okay, there's, you know, we'll, for the most part, let's let those artists do what they're doing. Let's just see if we can create something a little bit more modern sounding, but still have the vibe and feel, which is a little bit faster beat, bigger beat, maybe a touch punkish, and bring it in to today's audience and see if they'd be willing to accept it. And I think the jury's still out on that. And right now, most of the stuff on the radio is very much written by songwriters who have no connection to the performer or singer.
Right.
They're
exactly.
purchased songs and put on, and they're all molded. And that's not, I don't mean that in a negative way, because some of them are fantastic songs, but they're a molded style, and then they get somebody to sing them, and those are great voices. So it's based upon a style with an amazing voice, and that's a great thing to do with great producers. What we said is that let's just do it ourselves, but at the same time, let's see if we can take that sound of the late 70s, 80s, and early 90s and bring the tempo, bring the beat up, make it more modern, and maybe throw in a few more things, and maybe even add like a little a punk to it if we can, or something else. And that's what we try to do. And we don't know yet if that'll get a bigger audience than we have or not, but we hope it will, because we think there's so much out of that period that can be brought forward, much like I said, with the like people did with the big band songs, with the 50 songs, 60 songs, and now we're trying to do with 80s and 90s songs.
Well, you guys are very, very innovative. You guys are pioneers, and you're on the right track. It is a hard market nowadays. You know, it's very difficult, especially in any kind of rock form, or like you said, even you want to get a little punkish, or get that 80s sound or whatever. It's just a tough market. It seems like it's basically all I call it dance music, and kind of a derivative from disco. You got that same beat. It's all dancing, more dancing than anything else. All the proficient writers and songwriters and players are pretty much gone. I mean, how many guys on the mainstream radio are guitar heroes nowadays? I can't name one.
Well, I don't think you even really hear guitar solos anymore. I mean, it's just kind of like a bass line that stays on the same note, and all this amazing singer that's happening.
But actually, we don't put a lot of lead guitar lines in our songs either, and that's mainly because we try to pick what's most important for the song first. But if we need a great lead line, I mean, I've got Luis right there. It's not a problem adding one that. Amazing lead on our song Mary from our first album is we had a little spot there, and I went on that bridge, and I went to Luis. I said, just need a little extra guitar there. And he goes, you want me to do it? I said, you go for it. I said, you want to do it? I'm like, you do it. And then the back end, Nikki said, how about if I do a little vocal line there too? And I said, Nikki, just go for it. And the two of them filled that with their those are just both ad libs into the recording of that song. And that was the benefit of having Nikki, who can just ad lib something beautifully into a song, and having Luis throw in a lead very reminiscent of a Jimmy Page kind of memorable style lead, or or Eric Clapton.
You guys mesh so well on stage, and Laura, you're a great guitar player.
I'm a rhythm player.
and your presence on stage is kind of looking, the way you're kind of strutting around there is like a little bit like Jimmy Page and Nancy Wilson. The way she, because Nancy Wilson gets it from Jimmy Page too.
Who doesn't want to follow Jimmy Page?
Exactly. You guys are great on stage. You're totally awesome on stage.
It's funny that you bring that up. I guess Laura had gotten in contact, or one of her old schoolmates had gotten in contact with her recently, and I guess there was a short video of her playing in her high school band, and she said, I knew that was you as soon as I saw you moving, because you move exactly the same way you did in high school on stage.
That's funny. That's a good thing.
Her style has been very consistent for high school days.
I'm going to be tough on you guys now. Like I'm your manager. Okay. Got the album coming out in December. Kick-ass album. You got the video coming out. It's world tour time. And the United States is a great place, but I think you're the European market, Japan, and those guys are going to get really, really excited about you guys. Are you planning on a world tour after the album's release, or what's the plan there for touring?
Thank you. The plan right now is that we've kind of like gone back and forth on this. We did the UK tour 2 years ago, but we really want to hit the Far East if we can this time around. Our goal is to, we want to actually go to Japan, Vietnam. We actually have a really good following in Vietnam. We didn't know, but we're starting to see, like, and that's really surprising. But then when you think about all the U.S. military influence back then, a lot of people grew up with American music. So we were thinking of if we could hit there, maybe the Philippines, South Korea, and hit that market, maybe even Australia. That would be our first goal if we went out of the country to hit the go to the Asian market would be our first goal. And then maybe if we, you know, if we could afford to, or we can make money, hit the festivals next summer in Europe.
Right. Amsterdam's another good place.
Yeah.
That's a really good place. I talked to, you know, Beth Hart.
Uh-huh.
She's awesome. Love Beth. She played, I mean, you know, when she got out of, I guess, rehab and everything, she was having a hard time with drugs and everything. She came out and played Amsterdam and was a smash there, and it was so big. That's how she got started getting big over here in the States. But she's still... Huh. She's still much bigger over there than she is here, you know?
I think that seems to be the case for a lot of more independent artists and, you know,
rock.
More rock-style bands. You know, the U.S. right now is all about pop and hip-hop.
Yep, exactly.
Which isn't a bad thing.
It's been that way for a little while. A lot of bands do that, too. They go to Europe and kind of... you know, get moderately successful here before they start to get that push in the U.S. And that's kind of seems to be what's the Kickstarter over here is that success in the EU.
Exactly.
Yeah. Our new management was working with John Pitgrass over AEM Artist Entertainment Management, and their big thing is touring. And that's one of the reasons we're going over to them, because they're tour professionals, and so we're hoping that can help us get into some of those festivals in Europe. That's our real big goal, because we agree with you 100% that if we could do that, it's going to be a lot better for us than just consistently playing more of the, like, the Sunset Strip and things like that here in the United States, because you're more in the club scene in the United States, but in Europe, you're in the festival scene. We don't know what would happen in Asia, but we will, you know, we'll take our chances there, but... yeah, Europe has the big festivals, and that's really, you know, that's a big goal for us.
Now, if you did a world tour, or even, you know, here in the U.S., would you team up with maybe a headliner, you know, and support them, or how would that work?
We would hope they would include us. You know, you're really at their mercy. A lot of it has to do, you know, guys, pretty much with... not as much as your music, but as much as your ticket pool. Coachella and everybody else, what we understand, it seems to more pull off of, you know, how your draw is and everything else. So a lot of the headliners, to get on their ticket is really going to be how much you can add to their draw. And so it's like anybody else, it's Catch-22. So that's why... you were in your first assessment was very much right. If we can go over to either Europe or Asia and grow a bigger following, that should help us hopefully grow a bigger following in the United States, and then we can get on tour with one of the bigger acts, which would be our goal.
Well, what if you toured with Train? Is that a possibility?
We would love to tour with Train. They haven't asked us.
And you got connections there already.
You know, but one thing we try to do very carefully is not, we don't like to do anything outside of a normal protocol and those things, because I think a lot of people burn bridges when you take advantage of things. Our hope is that we can get to a point where they would want to say, hey, would you want to join us? And we would hope that would come rather than us begging them, which we'd be glad to do, but we think the best is just wait for them to ask.
Yeah. Well, Laura, you got all kinds of connections from your Disney days.
I know.
Call them some favors.
Yeah, those I don't mind calling in.
I just interviewed this week as well Doug Aldridge, guitarist. He played with Whitesnake and Dio, and he's with the Dead Daisies now. He made friends with Kiss, and they've been on their tour for the last couple of months, and they're going to be on the Kiss Cruise as well. So,
Cool.
All you got to do is make friends with somebody, and you're in, you know?
Cool.
And you guys got a lot of friends.
But yeah, we, Bruce Kulick? We've made friends with Bruce, which is really nice, and so he's listened to our album and liked it, which is really wonderful. So we're slowly making inroads on that on that level too.
You got so many great reviews from your peers, which is awesome. You know.
Yeah, we seem to do really well on that level, which is that was surprising us. You know, we were surprised that we were getting great reviews from some legendary industry people on all levels, which was fantastic. And we're hoping at some point that really translates into getting us into bigger festivals or bigger events or things like that. So we're just hoping there's a translation at some point to that.
It'll come. You guys are still young. You know, you only had your first album, which, was a critically acclaimed first album. You can't go wrong with that. Now everybody's waiting for the second one. And the video's awesome. So it's going to happen for you guys. I know it. I know for sure. And anything I can do to help. Yeah, anything I can do to help, it's you count on me, because I'm also a fan of you guys.
Thank you so much. We'll keep sending you the songs ahead of the release so you can hear them. We really feel like as much as we loved Red Wagon, when we played it back, we did not feel it was even the best song on this coming album, because the other ones are so, we felt we took so much time with them, so massive. We really feel so good about this new album coming up, that it's not an advancement of the last album. It's a big step forward, and that's what we're really happy about. We learned a lot.
You guys appeared at the 15th annual Crew Fest Hollywood this year.
Yeah.
We just did that.
It's so
September
nice.
30th. The 31st, the end of July.
That's the 31st. Yeah, the play
was so massacre. It was fantastic. It was just a packed house. Everybody was there. We were all there for a good cause. So, just the vibe and the energy was fantastic. Everybody, even, including the, the patrons that came in, our fans that came in. Such a good overall feeling in the whole show. We knew we were there to raise money for a good cause. And, I think everybody was just happy to be involved and be a part of it. It was fantastic.
All the proceeds went to cancer charities in memory of Skylar Neal, right? The daughter of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Vince Neal, who lost her battle when she was only 4 years old. That's horrible.
Yeah.
And you guys played some of the new album, what I understand, right?
We did. We played four of the new songs, including Red Wagon. Personal favorite at the moment, a song called Fate of the World. We closed the show with that, and it was a great show closer. I think it's the strongest, my personal opinion, I think it's the strongest song that we have to date. My most favorite to perform. I cannot wait to finish it in the studio and share that one with the world, because that's the one that, for me, when I perform it, it's one of those tear-jerkers.
Right.
And it's hard to sing, hard to choke back the tears, to not choke on them while I'm in labor.
That song was written to be, we had hoped to release that ahead of this election coming up. It's a very political song.
Right.
And it's one of, we wanted to release a song ahead of this election. I'm not sure if we'll make it or not, but our goal is that would be our second single coming out ahead of this album, because the lyrics are very much talking about, if we aren't careful with this election, and we're not trying to tell people which way to vote or anything like that, but to really think it through before they check that box of where things could come, where things could go. So Fate of the World was very much of, it's in our control, or have we lost control? And that's really, what the song is about. And it's a very, very big beat, very powerful song, much more on the lines of a more modern, big Led Zeppelin kind of Cashmere kind of song, but even faster.
Not that the song sounds anything like this, but kind of like Sunday Bloody Sunday, that kind of a message.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact that Laura is such a fantastic lyricist as far as getting exactly the point down, I think was proved at that whiskey show of you know, when you look out to an audience and you're performing a song, and they're so involved with what's happening that the lyrics are reaching out to them so much. I mean, I saw a few people with tears in their eyes on that song. It's, you know, I mean, that's how powerful the message is on Fate of the World.
You know, every song you guys have written have been like that. They're very, very powerful lyrics, you know.
Wow, thank you.
I love it. I really dig it. It's awesome.
Thank you. That's all, Laura.
Now, you guys got other things going on. You got a good relationship with Cleopatra, huh?
Well, Cleopatra did the first album. We're not sure we'll be teaming with them on the second one or not.
Okay.
They like us. We like them, and I think it'll depend upon how much we. Our goal is for the second album,
right,
that if we can get a little bit more from the record company, if we can get a record company that represents us a little bit more than we get in terms of assistance with marketing and promotion and tours, and that's our goal and our hope. And I know that's always, you know, that's the thing when they hear the whole album. What they decide if they want to do that or not, and so that's going to come when they hear the entire album. So we'll make that time. Red Wagon is an independent release ahead of it, so that gives us choices on who we can work with and the ability to go shop this current album in the marketplace. American Stranger is with Cleopatra. The second album could be with them, or we can shop to somebody else. It all just depends on what they say and if we're able to shop to any level that would give us a stronger opportunity or as good as an opportunity. So we're it's unknown in that area, but we'll be pounding the pavement really hard on this album.
You really got to work hard nowadays. It's not like the old days where you had lots of record companies knocking on your door, is it? You know, one time they were all looking for garage bands, and if you had a garage band in Michigan, you know, you get signed to a record deal, you know, and today you really got to promote the hell out of yourself to even get considered.
It is more difficult, and as much as people say social media helps, and it does, it also means that instead of you're competing now with, you know, thousands of bands on a place, and the one that gets that one viral hit or viral mention,
right,
or whatever it is that it is. There's so many really good bands out there. And whoever gets that stroke of luck for whatever reason, earned or unearned, that's really where it goes. And so we just have to keep at that, as well as keep that working on the music and keep the combination going, and just hope we have stamina and energy to keep working that way as well as on the songs. Cause, you know, at the end of the day, we still got to pay our rent.
Yep, exactly. And I guess that's why Nikki's got her own, Nikki's London Photography, freelance photographer.
Yes, she does. And she's really good at it. Oh, my God. Really,
and you got your you got your website up. It looks great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that. I was working on that over the weekend.
Yeah.
I also have a full-time day job where I sling commercial cleaning services.
Wow, you're quite the entrepreneur, aren't you?
you got to do what you got to do.
Right, exactly.
And a couple of my coworkers there have actually hired me to do photos for their family, it's just kind of started to pick up more things. So I wanted to get that rolling as well, because I'd actually like to shoot more bands and events, like, you know, music events and stuff like that. So I figured it was time to get that really going.
Didn't you work for, like, a movie production company for a little bit or something like that?
I did some grip and gapping work on a movie called Bell Canyon.
Right.
With a very, very, very small independent film company. And that was a lot of fun. It was only an 8-day shoot.
But it was the first time
I got to work on a movie. And
right.
it was just a lot of fun. So, you know, watch how they shoot the scenes and how the actors do their, you know, their dialogues and things like that, and everything that's involved as far as, you know, even just blocking out the light from a window.
Right.
How much really goes into it, even on a low, very, very low budget film. I can only imagine what it would be like on, you know, on a big production.
And Laura, of course, has her background with Disney for years and years. Are you doing anything on the side also, Laura?
I do a lot of video production work for people, editing video as well.
Oh, cool.
What I'm currently trying to do more of is doing ghostwriting of songs for like film and TV, and we're doing a Christmas song here coming up. We're not sure if we'll put that under London Rain or under our separate stuff,
right.
But every year we try to release a Christmas song for charity. For some, or to raise funds for something. But this year, instead of doing a cover of a Christmas standard, I wrote our own Christmas song, and so we're kind of excited to release our first Christmas song that we wrote this year. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do right now, is do that along with video production for people as well.
How about screenwriting? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you're in the right place for it.
I've done a lot of writing for television in my past, a lot of years, but but screenwriting, I give those people all my respect in the world. It's one of the hardest things in the world. I've tried it. I have to. I've tried it, and I failed. I don't think I want to try it again for a bit. It's just too. It's really hard to write dialogue. It's one thing to write a story. It's another thing to write dialogue. I cannot believe how hard it is to write dialogue.
Do you still work at all with Disney, like on the sly or anything, or?
No. I was under a contract with them for a long time, and once that left, I went to work for NBC and worked on some other things like that and stuff. And so I have not gone back to it. I probably should at some point look at that as something I could add to, but for the most part, I did a lot of years in it. I just kind of like needed a break.
Yeah, I hear Disney's kind of tough to work for, as well. They're pretty hard on their people. Is that true?
I think it depends on how you interpret that. Hard on people as if they want the most out of them. It's true.
Right,
they're hard on people for that reason, which is a good reason. Hard on people for any other reason. I think it depends on the individual. With any company, there's probably people who are treated well and not treated well, and there's different opinions. So I can only say that when I worked for them, yes, they were hard on us, but hard on us because they wanted the most out of us. And I can't say I disagree with that philosophy.
Right. I interviewed about a month ago. We were talking about television and everything. Lucy Arnaz.
Wow.
Yeah,
I figured nobody's heard from her in a while. I'm going to reach out to her, and she contacted me right away. She's so great. What a great person she is. And she's trying to get together a cruise next year to Cuba, because it's going to be Desi's 100th birthday. And they're going to go to Santiago, Cuba, where he was from, and retrace the whole town, and she put me on the list because I think I want to go.
Wow,
cool.
Met Desi Jr. at an event a couple years ago in Hollywood. He was living in Las Vegas. I don't know where he is now, but that would it would be great to talk. Wow, that would be fun to find out how to get aboard that one. I'd love to go to Cuba.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with my mom, my mom's family was all from Cuba. So I was there as a baby, but, I don't remember anything, of course.
Wow, that's, Cuba would be, Cuba,
yeah.
Such, it's such a beautiful country, and
the
we know that
amazing.
They, that we, I do know that, that soon the social media and everything's going to open up there soon, and we have looked at that and tried to figure out how we can get our music into Cuba. We know that a couple the smaller radio stations in Puerto Rico and stuff have played us and stuff, and we would like to figure out how to get in. We'd like to get on the ground floor in Cuba. That would be great—a great way to introduce that period of music with modern sound, and then maybe trace it back to the originators of that sound, going back and would help them introduce them to bands like Led Zeppelin and bands like that they know of in here because of obviously the trade, but could reconnect even more with, because it'd be open communication of all kinds of music.
Definitely. Yeah, I saw pictures of Cuba now, and there's a lot of American tourists there. I think it's good to, this should have happened a long time ago. I never knew why they didn't open the gate up, for us to go back to Cuba. We're so close as far as neighbors and everything, and there wasn't any issues with the Russians anymore, so, you know, what the heck?
Yeah. Well, there are now.
Yeah.
Putin appears to be Trump's best friend, so that's an interesting one.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out, huh?
Yeah.
You guys got to go to the Grammys. I saw it all over Facebook from Nikki. You know, that's how I stay in touch with you guys. Nikki posts all kinds of stuff. But did you guys get to schmooze with other artists at the Grammy Awards?
It's like going to almost like a concert at like a big arena. There's, you know, thousands of people there, but everybody's moving from one place to another. So the pre-party and post-party, we did get to meet with a few people here and there. But during the event itself, everybody's just moving through those halls of the state center so fast. You're just more or less looking at people walking by and saying, I think I know that person, but, you know, everybody's moving really fast. And so it was a little more difficult than we thought. I think if we were, if we'd made the finalists in the nominations and were backstage, it would have been a lot easier to meet people just in the general audience.
Well, if you're nominated for the single, then you're in.
But, you know, when we looked last year, and we knew a lot of Grammy voters. I'm a Grammy voter, and we know a lot of Grammy voters, and we listen to who they vote for, but then actually who makes it. I think the process is that it's not a cheating or anything, but there definitely seems to be a waiting toward the name artist. And it's understandable when they do that televised show, they want the biggest names with all the biggest ratings. But our hope is that maybe we'll get lucky and maybe be one of those lucky lesser known bands that might make some category somewhere or something that maybe we'll get enough votes for that. But it pretty much goes to those, you know, those top 20 artists that seem to dominate radio, dominate everything else, and they dominate every award show, and it's always just seen people over and over, and then once somebody makes a breakthrough once or twice a year, and that's all they let in the door, you know?
These are the times you miss the old MTV, you know?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Because you guys would definitely
be
on MTV. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking. You got a pretty famous designer from your first album. Is he going to be? His name is it Ioannis?
Johannes. Yeah, you're right. Everybody.
Is he Greek? Is it Greek?
Yes. Uh huh. Yes.
Okay.
He is.
And
is
he gonna be designing the next summer?
He already did the design for Confessions.
Awesome.
In fact, we're doing a video. Preview of our song that we're releasing in the middle of this month of Red Wagon, and we're putting together the little trailer for it, and in that will be our logo slapped over the top of what will be the cover art for the next album. So you'll actually see what that cover art he designed for the new album will be, and it's amazing. It's this windswept storm over the coast with these rocks that are just eerie and dreamy and all at the same time. He just has that fabulous style, and he's, you know, he also did this updated cover work for the new Led Zeppelin stuff that's coming out for the books for them and everything else. But he's got that style. He's one of the greatest album cover artists in the world, and yes, he's doing the new album cover as well.
Oh, he did a great job. Yeah, I checked out his resume. He's done a lot of albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, but I did want to tell our listening audience about the Savage Line from American Stranger, which was written for and dedicated to families and soldiers of the Chosen Company who bravely fought at the deadly battle of, is it Wannat?
Wannat, yes.
Wannat.
Battle of Wannat.
The Battle of Wannat, and that was in 2008. Can you talk a little bit about that that track? Because that's a pretty, you know, heavy-duty statement there. It's a great, great song.
Thank you. That was basically Nikki and I were watching a 60-minute report. My dad had fought in the Korean War two tours, and he had talked about how we were talking about Vietnam and how the soldiers came back and were, you know, just there just was very little attention given to him and a lot of almost a disservice. They didn't cause the war, you know, they just fought it. And so we talked about that, and he said the same thing happened to us coming out of the Korean War, and I was really shocked because I didn't know that it happened to soldiers coming out of the Korean War as well. And so we happened to watch 60 Minutes about the battle went on, and this incredible ambush by the Taliban of American soldiers there who were put on the front line with very little support. And it's a really tragic story. 9 were killed, I think 27 wounded out of 49. They were almost obliterated. And it was just being put on the front line with just no support at all. And one father of one of the soldiers who was killed, Frankie Day is his name, he's gone out of his way to really fight on their behalf. They've put out a documentary on it. There's, as I said, the 6 Minutes report. And so the song was written as if you were in the battle, being on the all alone on the front line and being on the savage line, and how it would feel to be there. And it was just our interpretation of what it would be like to be there and have been in a battle like that. And that's why it was written from their perspective, from our thoughts of what it would be, their perspective, and then dedicated to them in honor of giving us the ability to have the freedoms we do today, especially as LGBT members. You know, we you know, we wouldn't survive as much probably in somewhere else, but in America, everybody's accepted for the most part, and it's because of people like that who fought for us, and that's why we try to honor the veterans and soldiers and give them all their praise.
And we thank you for that. Thank you for that. How about a song in the future about the tragedy in Orlando? You know?
Oh, we have one in the works.
We do have one there. It's just a matter of a lot of people came out with songs right after it, and so we thought, well, you know, let's just take our time on this and wait till the dust settles a little bit to put that out, so it's not just rushed after the event. We want to really think that there's a lot of broken hearts in that incident, and a lot of, we want to be really careful with the tragedy of that scale and nature.
Yeah, that's only about an hour and a half for me, and we go there all the time.
Oh my God.
It's horrible. You know, you don't believe something like that can happen in this country, you know, but obviously it can.
Because it's so close to you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We just, my daughter got married in St. Augustine, so we went by, you know, we drove by Orlando. But, we go to Orlando a lot.
Oh, God, that must have been heartbreaking to go there and see that scene. That must have been heartbreaking.
You could even script that in a movie, you know? I mean, that
would
horrible as a movie, you know? It's terrible.
Nobody would believe it. Nobody would believe it.
Well, anything else you'd like to promote or add?
I only want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and sharing your comments and everything else. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for continuing to do what you're doing for us. We really, really thank you and appreciate it.
I second that motion, Ray. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And I always get so excited when I see you, like something on my Facebook page or whatever. Like, oh, Ray. Such a cool guy.
I always like everything you put out there, Nikki. Everything you put out
thank
there.
You.
Like. I'll put more comments too as we go along.
Okay.
I need to come out to LA. You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'd love to have
there.
You.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool to meet in person.
I kind of thought about moving out there at one point, so we'll see.
Well, it's quite a bit less humid here.
If we know in advance, then we could plan a show around when he comes, so we could play live for him.
That's awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah. Laura, Nikki, thank you so much for being on the show today and for all the incredible London Rain music. We're looking forward to the new single video, Red Wagon Can't Return to Yesterday, on September 17th. And of course, Confessions, the new album by London Rain at the end of the year. So we'll see you guys on Facebook.
Thanks,
thank
Ray. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
And
appreciate
hi, everybody
it.
That's listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Visit London Rain's official website at www.londonrain.com. London Rain is also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/London Rain. London Rain's on Twitter, twitter.com/London Rain. London Rain is also on Reverb Nation, www.reverb.com. nation.com/London Rain. You can purchase London Rain's critically acclaimed debut release entitled American Stranger at Amazon.com. Visit Nikki London Photography and DJ Services at www.picsbynikki.com. Very special thanks to the great Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging this interview, and to Doug and Don Newsome with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio, Station 1.